provide information and an opportunity to talk with people who have been there and are doing that, so.
Does anyone else have questions?
Is there, I know the, you know, if some of this stuff has to change or go away, I mean, it'd just be horrible, but, you know, so like what you were just talking about there, I mean, meeting and seeing other successful blind people, I think, is one of the most important things that blind youth, that happens to them. Is there, you know, as far as a mentoring network, you know, I mean, like, just like you said, the panel where Carlos and other blind parents, I mean, that, I think there's not a lot of ways, I mean, the commission's about the only one that could maybe be a conduit to, you know, matching up blind successful people or adjusted people with youth. Is there any way to just have blind people that are interested in answering questions provide their name to some list that, you know, could be given to youth and youth's parents that they could then, you know, contact in their, you know, local areas?
Some efforts have been made in that direction. You get into a little bit of the logistics issues, and background checks in this day and age are requirements, that sort of thing. What we have done is when an individual is interested in a vocation that we know of someone who is doing, we do try to pair them up. We've had a college student mentor a high school student who was interested in the same vocation. It has been on a case-by-case basis. It has not been formalized at this point, but we have tried to certainly capitalize on what someone else is doing that might be helpful to the younger person. And that does work out pretty well. I would really hesitate to give a list of people to a family member without some involvement on our part, or at least some encouragement to go ahead and make those contacts. It's kind of it's a really, really important thing to do, but it's also got some issues that surround it because of the world we live in.
Yeah, liability issue.
That's right. So. Amy and I have talked about partnering with a parent meeting. I've come in contact with four different parents in the last 2 weeks who really need to talk to other parents, and we do want to take a pretty serious look at doing that again. Parents encouraging each other is really, really critical too. That's not necessarily something that the transition program has funds to do, but we do have enthusiasm, energy, and contacts, and that's the big three of that one. So we'll be looking for partnerships everywhere that we can find them to continue what we plan to do.
We are also in constant communication with consumer groups, the ACB, the NFB. We do invite them to come to our program, you know, like the College Workshop, the Wages Program, and they both are showing interest and support in an informal type of mentoring, if we want to call it that one.
Anything else? This is certainly an important topic, and we all need to get creative as far as, you know, what we can suggest, or any entities that any of you commissioners know of that could be partnering with the commission on these kinds of activities. You know, we really, I think, need to brainstorm or try to come up with things. Well, thank you very much, Carlos and Karen, and everybody else who works on these things. Amy is one of the transition staff people, and we appreciate all that you do, Amy. And James in Omaha and Denise in North Platte, are the other two, and, you know, they've certainly done a lot, too. And, you know, I know we haven't talked about that kind of thing as far as what the commission would be able to do in terms of retaining staff. You know, maybe it is too early, I don't know, but I certainly get concerned about that when I think of what those folks do to keep things going. And I hope that we'll be able to keep them. The next item on the agenda is a 10-minute break. Goodness, we're actually ahead of time. Mm-hmm. We know this will not probably last. So I have 9:57.
Barbara, one more person came in.
Okay.
Jeff, could you introduce yourself?
Jeff Altman. I'm vice president of National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska.
Okay.
And also an employee of the commission.
Okay, welcome. Just in time for a break. Oh, I don't know exactly when
he's been here a while.
Okay.
I've been here
All right. Okay.
I only want to jump in when we're at either public comment or break time when I'll mention.
Yes, and that's fine.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Who spoke out? I didn't hear which one it was, AD or?
I don't know.
One of them did.
Okay, so if we come back at 10:10, that should be good.
Okay.
We're going to resume the meeting now. The next item on the agenda is the report from the chairman. I want to say, first of all, that I'm glad that Bill is with us again at this meeting. We missed him at the November meeting, and we're glad you're back, Bill.
Glad to be back.
And we're also glad that both Dorothy and Pearl, who have had health things going on of one kind or another, are also with us and healthy. You know, it's one of those deals where it seems like we always have things come up and we hope for the best with them, and so far we all seem to be doing fairly well, even though there's a lot of flu and stuff going on right at this time of the year in a lot of other places. So I'm glad that all of us were able to be here and kind of weather the various things that have happened to us in the last few months. We already talked a little bit about the public hearing report on rule. We've been receiving information all along about that, and hopefully we will soon know what the outcome of it is and be able to have the last part of rule in place. And I want to publicly congratulate Pearl on being asked by Carl Augusto, president of the American Foundation for the Blind, to serve on the program committee. And I'm glad that the executive committee endorsed her appointment and that is happening. Also want to congratulate her on being on the advisory committee that is mandated by the Tech Act. She's the representative for NCBBI, and also we're glad that Carlos is willing to serve if she's not able to attend. Mark Schultz of the Assistive Technology Project was the one who had sent her the letter concerning that, and we're glad of that. We always want the commission to be represented on any of these entities that happen, and we were glad to have the technology portion of the Commission for the Blind legislation passed, so it's good to have follow-up on that. We also appreciate receiving copies of the letters to newly elected public officials, including the governor and senators and that sort of thing. It's always good for us to be out there, known about, and, you know, have the name recognition and the offer for assistance in any kind of things that have to do with the blind. It's been fun, too, to get the anniversary date letters, and we were glad to have received them so far for Mary Davis, Janet Graham, Bob Shanklin, Glenn Irvin, Betty Burrish, Dottie Wilmot, Kelly Coleman, and we look forward to those as the year progresses. It's also always good news when people get reclassified and have, you know, what they do recognized, and we're really pleased that Josie Rodriguez and Sherry Brueggemann were able to have that happen, to be reclassified. We were also glad to hear about the work that Sean Jernis was doing on the bus routes in Omaha. You know, some of those informational things aren't very helpful if they aren't readable, and so I'm sure that people in the Omaha area are appreciating the HTML bus information, and it's good for us to hear about these things too, and you know, wherever they happen throughout the state. Of course, we always enjoy getting the center student reports, and the community project reports have been really good too. That's another thing that is always exciting, to know that programs are always changing to meet the different times and to make differences in not only the lives of the people who are directly here, but also those they affect. I was particularly fascinated by Dave Huntwerk's article. I thought that, you know, he just did an excellent job. I'm into writing and that sort of thing, and it's also always good to, you know, find somebody with a little bit of a flair when they write these things. So, and we also appreciate the Lifelines article, you know, keeping up to date with those things, and the dates for the visually impaired peer support training workshops. We look forward to finding out when the ones for Norfolk, Omaha, and Lincoln are scheduled also. Also getting the seminar materials developed by the Older Blind Committee. I know that's not exactly its title, but those materials were really, really good to read and to think about. And so, you know, we do really like knowing those things as they come out. And the satisfaction surveys, and the placement CD, I had been having trouble with some things working on my computer. It's dying a very slow and painful death. But that CD works fine. So however that was done and developed, it's great. I wish more things were done that way. We also appreciate getting the updated staff listing. We're working toward the training coming up in March. I know that Bob and Nancy and I on the board are planning to attend that, and Dr. Van Zandt and Val. Now, Bill and Dorothy, are you unable to
attend
that?
When's the deadline to
make
up my mind?
March 1st.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And then, okay.
And so, and you are unable to, you said, Bill?
Can't make it, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we will have a majority of us there anyway, and that's, you know, if you can, Dorothy, that would be great. I think that first-hand information is always better than second-hand, and also the interaction that will happen can't happen second-hand, so hopefully you'll be able to come also. Of course, we're very concerned about the upcoming budget hearing. I encourage everybody to come. Whether you testify or not, people being there is very, very important. And Carlos has been just informing us all that it's the 24th. I think I'd been telling people the 23rd, so that is needing to be corrected. So it'll be on the 24th of this month at 1:30. And a lot of times we don't know which place we have as far as which bill comes up or which entity is heard first. So it's a good idea to get there at the beginning, and that way, you know, you're there and get a seat in the room itself and that sort of thing. So we're also concerned about the situation with Voc Rehab, the closing of the potential closing of regional offices, or at least the downsizing of Rehabilitation Services Administration staff in the regional offices, and also Joanne Wilson's resignation as Commissioner of Rehabilitation Services Administration is also a disturbing thing. I think that sometimes when we're in a state where services are good and where the contact with the regional office is an ongoing thing, and we actually receive helpful information from it and that sort of thing, this makes a difference to us, and a noticeable one. I think throughout the country, in a lot of places, the agencies are so out of tune with consumers and that sort of thing that a lot of people really figure, hey, you know what, what difference does it make to me personally or whatever? But since it does make a difference to us, I think we need to be certainly paying attention to it, see what we can do, and try to make sure that the people who are good people who are in these places end up somewhere where they can continue to be effective. There have been other things that we've been working on in the last several months, but several of them will come up at other points in the agenda, and so at this point I don't think I will talk about those, because they will, as I said, come up in other parts of the agenda. So that is my report at this point, and if there is comment from the public or questions from commissioners, I'm certainly willing to answer them.
So can I be a kind of a public, sort of a commentator? Mm-hmm.
Sure.
She composed to Senate Tom Osborne, and just wondering if there was to be an official kind of communication go forth from the Board of Commissioners, which would be, of course, decisive.
We hadn't actually talked about doing that. I'm hoping that each of us as individuals will communicate about that. We certainly could do something as a board.
I think it's a good idea.
I do too. Mm-hmm. I think it's a real good idea.
I think it gives us more weight than just doing it as individual something in the name of the board.
Well, I can't think of anything which would preclude you doing both.
And, yeah.
Yeah, right.
As a member of the public, I would certainly urge the commission board and the board to let Mr. Osborne and the others who would be willing to listen know that they're really playing a silly kind of a game. This has been tried innumerable times over the last decade or so, and it's been, I don't think you can rest on your past experience and assume that it'll be defeated again. so that any kind of efforts that are put forward should be at least undertaken, and I hope would be effective.
May I jump in here?
Sure.
Okay. There may be some people who didn't see your emails yet on the topic that Dr. Nyman's addressing. The potential in Washington goes beyond the likely closing of the regional offices and the change of the commissioner. Yesterday we got an alert that there is an amendment being added to a House bill that'll be considered most likely by the House committee next Wednesday, which would block grant all the employment programs, including rehabilitation, and the Title I section of, which of course is the major section of the vocational rehabilitation program nationwide, and would effectively eliminate voc rehab services as a specific program. You know, it would all go to the governor to block grant as a part of workforce effort. So that's the, you know, the specific thing. I did get the letter, the fax to Congressman Osborne before I went home last night, but I'll be doing basically the same letter to the other congressmen and then also to the senators. But Osborne is actually on the committee that will be considering that on Wednesday, so that was the most important.
I do have the action alert with me if you think, if you, you know, want to hear it. I don't know if you want to do that or if you just want to, you know, get it when you get back if you haven't heard it yet and respond to it then. What it will mean if we're doing it as a board, you know, per our statement, I will need to, or someone will need to write the thing, and then, you know, you will need to check your email or whatever, so that we can get it out. We need to get it out by Tuesday, as I understand it. I mean, they're supposed to do the voting on Wednesday, so, you know, we don't have a lot of time. And so,
Madam Chairman?
Yes.
If you decide to do it or whoever decides to do it, I don't think that there's any problem that we're all in agreement that this, you know, mm-hmm. needs to be handled. And I can't see any way that any of us on this board would write it in such a way that it would be misunderstood what our interpretation was and what we need, you know, to happen or not happen. So I'm wondering if we could just, you know, vote on it, that whoever would do it, that we just would put it in their hands, since time is of the essence and we don't need to mess around with it. We need to get it handled.
I think we should just leave it, as you said, Nancy, leave it in the good judgment of our chairman.
I'd make
just go ahead and write the letter.
To whoever wants to do it.
I would make a motion that our chairman do it.
I'd second that.
Very good.
Okay.
You want to do it, Barb.
It's been moved and seconded that the chairman draft a message to the Congress about the block grant situation. There further discussion?
I just will make one comment that I just to reiterate what I already said, that I think, you know, we don't need to after you've said it, if you want to send us a copy, I think that would be a good idea, but I think we all trust your judgment and just go ahead and get it done and get it handled without trying to get a hold of us all, because of time being the essence. That's the only amendment I would add to that.
I had another comment as well. The action alert did recommend that people would not email, rather would fax. If you need for us to fax it from the office, we could do that. You could let me know when it's ready, and I can get it, or if it's on Monday, Val will be there, and you can contact her. I won't be in the office Monday, but if it's before Monday, I could take care of it. Or you could fax it from wherever, but that's just out, you know, an offer if you want.
Okay, well, I appreciate that, since I don't have a fax machine myself.
Most people don't.
I was in Kearney in the morning.
Excuse me?
It was yesterday, I suppose you stayed there overnight.
Do you know his fax number in Kearney?
I don't know if he has one.
Okay.
Was it a temporary thing? A cell fax?
Why?
That'll be beyond my technology.
It already is. Okay, so is there other further discussion? Not all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, I will do my best. These things are always a little scary to me because I believe I understand them and
we trust you.
Try. Okay. Is there further public comment?
Well, kind of a follow-up to that, since we have Candace Larson here from North Platte, since that's included in Tom's constituency, and those people tend to be responsive to their own constituents, and maybe Candace herself or some of her acquaintances out in that area could generate a quick little note to the good congressman and say, go for it.
Don't go for it.
That's a motion, by the way.
Well, unfortunately, I can't take motions from anybody off of the board, but...
We'll be happy to do that. Time is of essence, I realize, with a meeting here on Monday and a Tuesday morning, but I could, first thing Monday morning, make some calls and certainly get things done. And I would be happy to do that, and we'll do so.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, you know, and I don't think that we need to be, I need to turn that thing off. Sorry about that. You know, a lot of places, you know, you have people say you should not have cell phones on during meetings. This is one of them. And I have just now been a bad example. So. Okay. We don't need to be real wordy. I mean, the main thing is for people to do it and to get it done and to let them know that we're out here and that we don't want it. And so everybody in here, you know, we've specifically spoken to me as chairman of the Board of Commissioners and to, you know, Candy out in North Platte or whatever. But I hope everybody here will not only do it yourself, but also ask other people to do it. So the fact that we're doing it doesn't get anybody off the hook is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
See, I could have really made that phone thing more of a you're on the hook or whatever type of thing if I'd been a quicker thinker, but I'm not, so I didn't. Anyway, please do it. Okay, if there is not further comment from the public, we'll move on to the report from the executive director.
Okay. Thank you. I always have a list, and as Barbara goes through her items, I check off things on my list so it's not to be repetitive. Certainly the compliments to staff and those kinds of things, I just really want to second those things. But there's no need to repeat all of that. One of the things I did want to mention, Barbara, you mentioned receiving the staff list. Yesterday I found an error, so you might make a note of this, and I forgot to let Val know, so hearing this made me remember. For some, I'm sure, subtle subconscious reason, Amy's phone number was listed as the same as Shane's phone number. They are separate identities. And, Amy, I believe the way it was is 112-8112. Her number is 471-8114. Did I get that right, Amy?
Yeah, that's
fine. So, sorry, Val and public, but at least now everybody knows. And you know, at some point we'll redo that, but you can make note of that yourself. You also mentioned getting the surveys and the reports and such. Just this week, the reader that we've contracted with to do our new activity has begun, and so we don't have those yet, but you will probably recall we're going to begin a telephone survey of active clients at certain points. Carlos, can you remind me of exactly how that's going to work?
Yes, it's going to be actually for those who are all closures, 26 or 28, okay. Meaning successful or unsuccessful. And then after 4 months when they were closed, the person will do a call and do a survey. So far, she got in week 4 or 5.
Good.
In the past, we send those across the state and we will get maybe one for the whole month, or two for 3 months. So we hope that we are going to get a better feedback this way.
Thank you. And she will be writing up the results of each telephone survey and then sending them to the board or
to me.
To you.
I would be happy to send it to the board or to whoever.
Yeah, if you would send to me and the board.
Sure.
And then.
Yeah,
that would be great. And you know, whoever else you want to share it with, if all staff, I don't know exactly how we want to do that, but we'll be working on that. In years past, we've computed the prevalence of the number of blind and visually impaired people in the state based on prevalence statistics that were established by the Prevent Blindness National Organization. And so recently Val went into the 2000 census data because we realized we hadn't updated these, and so she did the checking the population in Nebraska in certain age groups based on the 2000 data, and then computed the incidence per 1,000. And so I just thought you might be interested in that. As of this data, there are 25,334 visually impaired people in the state, and this does include legally blind and severely visually impaired, which the Prevent Blindness defines as unable to read the phone book or the newspaper, that sort of thing. Certainly fits the functional blindness definition that we have. Just under age 24, there are 330 individuals, according to this. Hopefully it's accurate. Age 25 to 34, 275 people. Age 35 to 44, there are 443 who are visually impaired. Age 55 to 64, there are 1,104 in Nebraska. Age 65 to 74, 5,438. Age 75 to 84, 8,172. And then over age 85, 8,488.
Gosh, wow.
So.
What's the total again?
25,334 is the total.
That's more than I thought.
Yeah, there are a lot of folks out there that could use some help potentially. Okay, so, and by the way, stop me at any point if you want further clarification on these things. Another thing we looked at recently is last time there was some discussion about representation of the statewide independent living council and wondering what all the, you know, if, what representation the commission has, staff and or the commissioners, on other entities. And so I did ask supervisors to give me a list, and it's really quite extensive. People in just about every area are involved on either teams or boards or councils. And I don't want to read the list because it's rather lengthy, but definitely the staff are very much involved in their communities and active in the different events that are going on. I don't know if I actually sent a note to the board asking what entities you serve on, not necessarily everything you're active in, but if there are specific things that you represent the commission on. And for example, Bill, I know that you serve on the Statewide Independent Living Council, but I don't know if you're there as a consumer or if you represent the commission.
Consumer.
Consumer, mm-hmm. Okay. Are there any boards or entities that you folks serve on that you would consider as representing the commission?
No.
No.
Okay, good. Well, not good necessarily, but that at least we have a complete list. Okay, thank you. I'll finalize this list and then send it to you just so that you know what folks are doing out there.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I am not altogether convinced that it would be appropriate for us to represent the commission on things in the same way that that a staff person would. That's part of why we don't. I mean, I don't think it means that we're uninvolved in our in things having to do with blindness by any means. It's just that we do that as consumers, not as representatives of the state agency, and I think that's appropriate for us.
Maybe yes,
other people have other ideas about that. I don't know.
No, I agree with that, right. But I just kind of wanted to check. I know one of the things that was, I think, sort of asked last time or seemed to be commented or asked is that maybe there should be a statewide independent living update every time. And I don't know, when you see the list of the things that people serve on, we could spend our whole board meetings getting reports. So, you know, I don't know that that would be helpful. I try to, if there are things that my staff make me aware of or that I'm aware of, I'd try to bring to you that, or things that we feel like you would need to know. So we attempt to do that anyway. And much of what I want to talk about is in the old and new business, so I won't repeat those things. One thing that comes under state plan, but I do want to just mention that Barbara, you did talk about a little bit on the materials sent about the training session, the curriculum and such. Just to highlight the fact that we really are looking at how we can do business differently for older blind clients and for vocational rehabilitation clients, because the population's growing, our staff is certainly not growing, if anything it'll be less, and budget, if anything, will be less. So we're really trying to revise and rethink how we're working with people, and the state plan will reflect the change in with older blind individuals. We'll be doing regular training sessions that have a curriculum for groups of older blind people, and then you know, we won't minimize the more individualized kind of piecemeal approach that we've had that makes it harder to get out to everybody. And the training for the groups the visually impaired peer support group leaders will help to minimize the amount of involvement that our staff need to do with support groups. So that then, at the same time, more focus, as you've seen from the placement manual, can be placed on the VR aspect and getting people to accomplish their employment goals. So that really will be kind of a change in how we do business. The other major thing that has been time consuming is in the business enterprise program, we have been working on the potential of getting the bid on the Offutt Air Force Base that comes open this fall. We've been working with a teaming partner to be able to manage that. We've been working with the Committee of Blind Vendors to determine the likely candidate for that Offutt position, and a whole process has occurred and interviews have been held, and fairly soon the committee that did the interviews will be sending me their recommendation, and then the final step is within the agency to determine who that person will be. So we can talk about that more at length if you like. It got more involved because there were 6 vendors who wanted to bid on the position for promotion or transfer, and because the majority of the committee actually were bidding on the position, there were only 2 committee's members left to make the determination, which is not enough. You know, it's not a quorum of the vendors committee, and 2 isn't a good number in any case to kind of work through a process like that. So we did take calling it a detour from rule. Our rule in Chapter 3 really doesn't say anything about what you would do when you have exceptional circumstances. And so we conferred with the vendors committee, we conferred with the RSA officials that are knowledgeable in the Randolph-Shepard law. And so I did send you all a sequence with most of the details of that whole process. So hopefully you have that, and if you have questions, I'd be very glad to answer or, you know, discuss. And if not, that's fine. I'll keep you updated.
I have just one brief on sure. The partnering with another entity. I mean, I guess I haven't read anything that gives me more details on that. Maybe there's been something I just overlooked it. But so is it basically the vendor will partner with some national concessions operator or something, or some other kind of concessions operator? What is the partnership is? I mean.
Yes, that's basically it. Blind vendors in other states have been doing this and have been quite successful. There are individuals in a number of states that have done this. It enables the state licensing agency, who would never have, well, at least in this state, most states would never have the kinds of resources you would need to operate the food service at an air base. You know, it's huge, and the volume and it's just an entirely different size and scope of things than our normal operating vending sites. And so the teaming partner has the resources in place, they have training for the blind vendor, if it's done right, which we certainly would be, we are working to make sure that it is done right, the blind vendor is very much an active partner with the teaming partner and is very much, you know, the manager, but usually the blind vendor would not have the scope and expertise that would be needed, again, to do that large of an operation. And so any training that might be needed, the teaming partner has a lot of resources there. With military bases, the military provides all the equipment. They don't want some other person bringing in a big metal machine to their, you know, facility. They're in charge of the equipment. The military takes care of the maintenance and upkeep of machines and equipment. So that's good, because that would be something that would be